How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, hasn't it? How's tricks, mate?
It's going great, man. Everything's going great out here. Life is really good.
Oh,
and,
good.
And yeah, how long has it been since we've talked?
Let me see. It was the Any Man in America record. You came into our studios in Birmingham.
Yeah, I remember, man, back in the Any Man in America days, those were some dark times. So let me go ahead and start this interview with an apology if I was overboard or highly irritated or anything like that. And I just, so if I was out of line in any way back then, I want to apologize for that.
Hey, mate, you were not at all. I mean, I remember talking to you, that interview around that record, and I went off and I listened to it. I mean, for people that don't know, the backstory to that album is largely that it was very much a letter to your daughter, who you were being denied access to, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I mean, every song on that album, it's some of the most heartfelt writing that I've ever heard. I mean, I know you've always been very good at that anyway, but I mean, it's just, it was a heartbreaking thing to listen to, but so beautiful at the same time.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's that album, now that I look at it, it was such a dark time. And I look at that man that wrote it and I was like, oh my God, he must have been losing his mind, you know, but the
main reason we're chatting today is because you very kindly agreed to lend your support to our Rock Against Depression campaign.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I mean, for people that aren't aware of your story, is, you know, depression, is it something that has affected you for most of your life, as much as you can remember?
As much as I could remember, ever since I was 14 years old, and I told my parents that I didn't want to live. You know, when I was 14, I've been on Paxil, antidepressants. And I've always tried to figure out what, I've always dealt with depression. I've always had major depression my whole life. You know, it always surrounded me. It was always in my life, but it's just as of late, you know, 3 years ago, like when I said I tried to find myself spiritually, I really had to take it seriously. You know, I really had to stop adding like alcohol or drugs or just negative behavior in the mix with depression, because I thought that once I took those things out of the picture, anything that is basically a negative effect on me, it's a lot easier to decipher what's going on in the depression. It's a lot easier to take my meds on time. It's a lot easier to get outside and actually go work out. And yes, there's some days where I think, man, the world's going to end, you know, and I just don't understand why, but that's just who I am. That's what I've always dealt with. I take my meds and I just pray that the world's not going to end, you know, and I surround myself with positive people, and I still go to the psychiatrist, but it's just now I'm proactive with it. Does it help? Yeah, it helps, because I know that there's people there that support me. And then I know that there's people like you who are in the music industry that are supporting the situation in America and in the UK. I mean, you don't know how many people have chosen suicide as a way out.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I mean, over here in the UK alone, male suicide is the number one killer of blokes. You know, it's worse than cancer.
And I just don't know if it's something that's why I respect you guys, because my whole life I've always sang about it and said, hey, look, we're here. And I've always welcomed the people with depression to my shows, or the people with suicidal tendencies to my shows. And we've always talked about it. I'm not a healer. I'm not a leader, but I'm just someone that goes, hey, I got it too. I hear you, you know, and I think that once I used to close myself off from other people and not surround myself with other people that I could connect with that same issue, you know, I started falling into tailspins. I think the more that we speak about it, the more that we let people know that there's open doors around them, the more that, I mean, Kerrang doing this, Rock Against Depression, is by far the most amazing thing that I've been a part of, because you don't see anybody in America doing that. You know, people in America think it's, you know, it's, oh, come on, get over it.
That's kind of the stigma we have over here as well. I mean, it's interesting you said a second ago that, you know, you surround yourself with positive people and there's people you can talk to. Over here, I mean, it is stigmatized to such a level whereby people feel that they shouldn't talk about it, or they're scared of talking about it, or that, you know, particularly in blokes, you know, there's that male stereotype, isn't there, of, oh, come on, yeah. I'm a bloke, you know, I shouldn't be down, you know. I mean, that's what kind of what you're up against.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I get a lot of flack from a lot of people over in America, like here, oh, he's so dramatic. You know, a lot of the press here don't like me because they call me King Drama. You know, oh God, look at him. There's Justin. Hate me today. Hate me, you know. And for me, I remember sitting down with him and going, if it's not for you, it's not for you. I don't sing it for the people that wake up feeling hunky-dory and wonderful about themselves. I sing it for the people that wake up going, why do I keep cutting on myself? Or why can't I see this beautiful sunshine outside? Why does it always rain on the situation? You know, and I just think that, I mean, I'm like you. The more that I can sit there and wave my hand and go, dude, you're not alone. You are not alone, bro. You know, that I think that the more people do that, the more that people be able to talk about it. Plus, you got to think about it this way. This is a mental disorder. This is something that costs money for people, too, to be able to treat. So that's a whole nother factor in this whole thing.
It is. Well, you see, the thing is, as well, over here in the UK, currently, we have something called the NHS, which means, actually, you know, if you do speak out about it, over here, I don't think there's any excuse to not talk about it, because you can talk about it with your friends, with your family, or there's, you know, there's numerous helplines or charities or whatever, and you can go to the doctors here for free. And, you know, you should be able to get treated in some way. So I think over here in the UK, you know, we're really set up to be able to deal with this quite effectively, but yet still people are scared to kind of talk about it.
So people just need to know that it's available. I mean, I guess people just need to know that it's not a strike against their manhood. You know what I'm saying? It's not a strike against their... That's what I just don't get, man. Feelings are so suppressed now, especially with males. That, I mean, would you rather be alive and happy, or would you rather give up and end it? And I know sometimes that second choice seems very good, but I mean, if you could just stand where I'm standing right now and know, you know, that by surrounding myself with positive people and that by actually just coming out and saying it, all the people that are going to dog you for it, and all the people that are going to tell you that you're weaker for that, you don't need those people in your life. So the sooner you get those people out of your life, better. I mean, for this situation, that's how I feel about it.
I mean, that is perfect. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, I don't think you could have kind of summed up any better than that. You know, you don't need those people in your life, people that are going to say, you know, that are going to be negative towards your, you know, coming out and talking about it, you know, because I think people would be surprised, I think, by the reaction of some of their loved ones or some of their friends. If they came out and talked about it, you know, the chances are your friends and your loved ones would say, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, or if they do come out and say, oh, come on, man up, and then you give them... A good thing for me is to set boundaries. When I knew that I had to get some help, and when I knew that I had to ask for help, anyone that I saw when I got out of treatment and I asked for help, they told me, man, you're going to have to change your friends, dude, because you've got some friends that just think this is easy. And I literally had to get a new cell phone and get rid of all of those negative people. And I had to start my whole contact list back over. And all the people that were in my family that didn't quite understand it, guess what? A year after I'd really started getting spiritual and being proactive and going to the doctor and taking my meds on a regular basis, they started noticing something different about me. And they started liking being around me. And then you don't even have to explain it to them anymore. They just see the person that you're who truly supposed to be. And they're like, what did you do? And you don't even have to tell them. You just got proactive with your stuff and you went out and you did it for yourself. You're worth it.
I think so. I think so. It really is. It's such a powerful thing. But you can take control of it, I think, can't you? I think it's all down to knowing that it's, you know, the primary thing here we're trying to get across is that it's okay to talk about it. You don't have to feel diminished as a person to say, you know what, I'm struggling a bit at the moment. You can do it. It's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite okay. And guess what the even more freeing thing is you're powerless for the rest of your life over what other people are going to think about you. So don't even try to change people's thoughts about what you're feeling. The one thing you can do is just disappear into health conscious living.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Disappear into health conscious living. And do you think they're going to come looking for you? Like, where did he go? Of course they would, because they care about you. But when they see you doing the next right thing, man, they're not going to have any questions. You don't need to bother them with that. But the people close to you that you do have, you know, let them know what you're doing. You got to pack a toothbrush and go turn yourself into a clinic and be like, I'm thinking of hurting myself today. Put me in a 3-day lockdown period and let's get some stuff done here. Then do it.
Couldn't agree more. Justin, you've got to tell me actually about a wonderful song of yours, which I only came across recently. It's called Fear. It's a couple of years old from what I understand. It's on your, is it your last album, Sway? Is it on the last album?
Yeah, it's on our latest album, Sway, yeah.
And I tell you what, I mean, I was introduced to that a couple of weeks ago and I listened to it and I thought it was beautiful. I thought the words were amazing. It was a really sort of uplifting track about how you can, well, you can explain it better than me. But the video that goes with it as well, oh my word, how powerful is that? It's amazing.
Thank you. I mean, it's like what we're talking about. It's like one day I got fed up with being sad. I seriously got fed up with playing the victim. I got fed up with sitting there going wah, wah, wah in every interview. I got fed up with going, oh my God, it's so hard. I got fed up with feeling like this darkness around me. And I decided one day I told my wife, it's time for me to get some help. I went to a center where they made me look at every aspect of my life and they made me go, you know what? You're drinking. Let's take that out of your life for a little bit and see how that works. You know what? You're using some recreational drugs and some pharmaceutical drugs. Let's take those out for a little bit. And then let's get you working out. Let's get you outside. Now let's introduce a higher power in your life, something beside yourself, something you can believe in. And oh my God, I just kind of said, let's see how long I can do this. Let's challenge myself. And boom, next thing you know, it's 2 days ago. I've been three years completely sober. But 3 years completely in control of my depression, 3 years completely in awe of what has happened. And it all came from this little word called fear, because I was just so freaking scared of the unknown all the time and scared of telling people what I was feeling, scared of being honest, and scared of stepping out and going, this has got to change. And so I wrote this song, and that's how I have to live my life now. And I will not go back to that little victim whiny boy ever again. And I will do whatever it takes to stand up for anybody that feels that way and tell them that it's okay to get back up, you know?
And wow, what a video. I mean, the song's great anyway, but I think to really get the full impact, you watch the video. I've watched it so many times, it gives me goosebumps. I mean, you know, the listeners, they can check it out because we've got it online over at kerangradio.co.uk. They can check out the video and, oh my word, it's so powerful because you can see that you really mean it. You know, there's a bit when you're shouting out towards the sea. You know, you shout, I can sense you're shouting at the fear itself. It's just, it's brilliant.
Thank you so much. I was actually living in California, and I called my friend who is a director, Nori Niven, and I said, man, it's a beautiful morning. There's a hurricane coming tomorrow, and the waves are up. Can we meet at 5 a.m. tomorrow? And I think this will be a really spiritually uplifting thing. And it's funny because as soon as I go to that high note at the end, this wall of water just crashes into me, and that's when the tide came in right at that moment. And it was just such like a
yes.
Whoa!
I know. That's one of the best bits of the video. And I thought, is that a happy accident? They can't have. You know, how many times did they practice that?
It was a happy. Yes, it was a brilliantly placed happy accident that I got to give up to my higher power and just be like, he had my back that day.
Oh, it's so good.
We were waiting for that tide to come in, and it came in right at that crescendo. And once we got that shot, the director looked at me and he goes, let's get out of here. And then an hour later, it was 7 feet underwater where we were. So it was great.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, people, they need to watch that video, listen to the song, check it out, because it really is... It's a special thing. Listen, what's next for you? And, well, I guess moreover, Blue October, are you touring the States at the moment? Are you going to come to the UK at any point?
You know, there's so much going on right now. It's funny that you say that. I've actually started filming a documentary 3 years ago when I decided to go get help. And I've had cameras on me ever since of this transformation of myself from being 270 pounds, drinking, depressed, and all the way down to 175 pounds, spiritually strong, and just the road that it's taken to get there. And we've been doing this documentary for 3 years now, so I'm really excited about this documentary. I'm already halfway done with the new album. It's going to be great. I did an acoustic open book tour up in the UK. I'm going to be coming back there probably in November or October. And to do an acoustic tour, and then we're going to put out an album in January, and then get our butts back up there to come see you.
Fella, it's been a tremendous pleasure to hook up again and chat, and you know, and lending your support to this campaign as well. We really appreciate it.
If there's anything I can do, you just holler at me, okay?
Lovely. Justin, thank you so much.